Are you ready for the word? I want to share something with you this morning that I think, in my opinion, is probably one of the most important words I have shared, and I'm going to share this year with you. So much so that I almost held back because a lot of folks are on leave, and I'm thinking, man, should I share this in January when they're all back? And it was really as if God said to me, share it. Just go ahead and share it. And so I want to talk to you this morning about the anointing. Have you ever wondered, what is the anointing? Where does it come from? And who is anointed? What does it mean to be anointed? We're going to try and answer some of those questions this morning. And so let's jump to the first one, and let's have a look at what is the anointing. The anointing is the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, all right, that enables someone to do what they can't really do on their own, to go further than they could in their own ability, to accomplish so much more. And so you could say the anointing marks somebody or distinguishes somebody. And so it distinguishes their family. It can distinguish their finances, their business. It makes all the difference in someone's life. It's the anointing that actually sets you apart from those who don't have it, the unbelievers. It can make a massive difference in your life and in my life if we're aware of it. And if we open ourselves to the anointing. So where does it come from? Well, obviously from God, but more specifically from the Holy Spirit. So let me show you quickly from Scripture. I'm going to give you two scriptures here, and it's referring to Jesus. Jesus actually says in Luke chapter 4, listen to this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, for He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." He has. Who's he referring to? The Holy Spirit. He has anointed me. Acts chapter 10 says, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth." How? "With the Holy Spirit and with power." It's the Holy Spirit that enabled them, that brought power. And so when God imparts His Spirit to us, He imparts anointing to us as well. Now, in the Bible times, this is kind of funny. In the Bible times, when they anointed somebody, they didn't do it like we would on a Sunday. Somebody comes out for prayer. The Bible says, you know, let the elders anoint them, all right? By the way, it's not for anybody just to anoint. Let the elders do that. And so when we do that, what would we typically do? We would dab a little bit of anointing oil on somebody's forehead or maybe their hands, or it doesn't matter where. But we dab a little bit of anointing oil, and the Bible times was very different. They would take a jar of oil, I kid you not, and they would pour it. Can you imagine somebody coming forward, and I reach back here, and I take this jar, their eyes would go big, and I'm saying, well, you know, this may mess up your hair slightly, you know, and your shirt, and your jeans, and everything, all right? And while we at it, maybe come stand on the tiles over here, or something like that. And so, in Bible times, that's what they did. Let me show you quickly here in Exodus chapter 29. And it's talking about, it's telling them how to anoint a priest. Listen to this. "Take the anointing oil and anoint him by pouring it on his head." Pouring it. In Psalm 133, we read about Aaron, the high priest, and how he was anointed. And the anointing oil flowed from his head onto his beard, down his robes, because they poured it on him. Listen to what happened when Samuel anointed Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 10. "Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head." And so that's how they anointed people back then. Do you know Scripture tells us in Joel chapter 2, and in Acts chapter 2, that in the last days, and we're in the last days, by the way, God will pour out His Spirit. He won't just dab a little bit of His Spirit on us, on His children, but He will pour out His Spirit. Why? Because we need it. We need His power, His ability upon our lives. And so it's the anointing that causes you and me to do things that we can't do in our own, and that's why He does that. And so here's my question to you this morning. If God anoints us with the Holy Spirit, would it be okay if He didn't just dab you with a little bit of the Holy Spirit, but if He poured it into your life? And so I'm going to pray for us in a couple of moments' time, and I'm actually going to ask for a fresh infilling, a fresh inpouring of the Holy Spirit. Is that okay with you? Can we do that just now? I'm almost like, let's stand and do it right now and let's go home, because that's what we want to do this morning. But let me stir your heart a little bit more and then we'll get to that. All right, now, why is the anointing so important? Well, we said it's the enabling power of God. It's supernatural power, and this is what's so amazing. Supernatural power that's available to you and to me. When Jesus came to this earth, He left His divinity behind. He laid it down, and He became a human being like you and me. That's theology 101, by the way. You can go and find that in Philippians chapter 2. And so He lays His divinity down. He becomes a human being. And He does everything He does on this earth as a human being through the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? He did what He did because of the anointing, because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's power is supernatural power. So let me show you quickly. In Luke chapter 6, it's talking about Jesus. He went to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, He went into the synagogue, as was His custom, and He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it's written. Isn't this amazing? And He reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me. You could ask the question, well, why was He anointed? And Isaiah says, to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. And so Jesus did everything He did because of the anointing, because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you another reference quickly, Acts 10. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. He did everything He did because of the anointing. Now, wouldn't it be absolutely amazing when Jesus went up to heaven if He had left a little bit of that anointing for you and me? If He made just a little bit of that available to you and me? Wouldn't that be amazing? Do you get where I'm going with this? Because that's exactly what He did. Let me read it to you quickly. And Jesus is talking to His disciples here, and He says in Luke chapter 24, He says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. He says to them, but stay here in the city. He says, don't move, don't go anywhere until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power. Notice that, not just a little bit of a dab. I'm not going to leave a fragment of it behind. He says the Holy Spirit is going to come and He's going to fill you. Now, let me just clarify something here. The anointing is not only for miracles and for healing and stuff like that. It's for our everyday tasks. And so even when you go back to Scripture, you can see there were people anointed in Scripture that weren't necessarily doing spiritual things. We weren't necessarily doing ministry. And so you can go back and you'll see kings were anointed to rule well. Priests were anointed to fulfill their services in the temple. Prophets were anointed to bring direction and correction. Construction workers, in some cases, construction workers were anointed to enable them to build to a standard that they weren't able to build on their own. And so you can find that ordinary people were anointed. Do you know that you can have the anointing as a business person, or as a teacher, or as a worship leader or somebody? Who knows, there's a difference between worship and anointed worship, between preaching and anointed preaching. There's a huge difference. And so you and I can carry whatever it is that we're doing. You can carry that anointing. So let me show you from Scripture how a construction worker was anointed. In Exodus 31, then the Lord said to Moses, look, I've specifically chosen Bezalel. I have filled him. Notice that. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. And so this guy carried an anointing that enabled him to excel in his craft, to be a master craftsman. And so that just means that you and I have that same anointing, whether you're an electrician or a plumber or a teacher or a businessman, it doesn't matter. I don't think that anointing is available to attorneys, by the way, but it's just joking. All right? The anointing is available to you and me. And when God drops that anointing upon us, we find ourselves doing things and accomplishing things that we wouldn't be able to do on our own. And people look at us and they're like, how did you do that? Where did you learn that? And we stand back and it's like, I don't know. It's got to be the anointing. And so that's what happens when God's anointing comes upon us. It's for ordinary people to do extraordinary things. All right? You got that? And that's exactly what happened in Jesus' life. Now remember, we said Jesus laid his divinity down. He became a human. But now listen to what happens, because he's got the anointing upon him, and he ends up teaching in a way that they stand amazed. He ends up healing people, they stand amazed. And they say, but this is the carpenter's son. We know he's a human. He's one of us. But look at what he's doing. Let me read it to you. In Matthew 13, Jesus, returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, where does he get this wisdom and the power to do miracles? And then they scoffed. He's just the carpenter's son. Listen, I want to say to you today, don't shrink back because of your background, because of your upbringing, because of your education or lack of education. When the anointing comes upon you, you go from being the carpenter's son to being the king's son. Amen? Listen, when Jesus started doing extraordinary things, where they stood amazed, they couldn't believe it. And it wasn't because he was raised in an extraordinary home or he received an extraordinary education. No, no. It was because of the anointing. Simply because of the anointing upon. And that's why Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. And that's what the anointing does. It enables you to do what you cannot do on your own. Now, here's some good news. That same anointing is available to every single Christian, and note Christian, not the unsaved. It's God's, for God's children. It's available for every single Christian man and women, young and old, ordinary people like you and me. Acts chapter 10 says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. I want to pause there. This is very significant. Notice he doesn't say Jesus the Son of God. He says Jesus of Nazareth. Why is that so important? Why is it so significant? Because Jesus of Nazareth refers to Jesus the human being. Jesus the Son of Man, not the Son of God. In this case, he's the human Jesus. And he's carrying that anointing, all right? And so that's very important, because that means if Jesus as a human could carry that anointing and operate in that, so can you and I. Jesus, by the way, did nothing really until he was baptized, received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, in other words, the anointing, and that's when his ministry began. Remember? What about the disciples? We've just read there in Luke 24 where Jesus says to them, he says, stay in the city. Don't go anywhere. Don't testify. Don't do nothing until you receive the anointing. You're going to need the anointing upon your life. So then the question is, how do we receive this anointing? Well, how did Jesus? By the Holy Spirit. How did the disciples receive the anointing? Also the Holy Spirit. So how do you and I receive that anointing? Exactly the same way, by the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what John says here in 1 John. He's basically saying, I'm giving you a heads up, you already have some of it. You already have some of it. Listen to what he says here. He says, I'm writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. It's a warning. He says, but you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So he's addressing Christians. And he's saying to them, you've already received the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. Now you and I know that. Let me give you that same verse from a different translation. Listen to this. He says, these things I've written to you concerning those who tried to deceive you. Now listen to this. But the anointing which you've received from him abides in you. The previous translation says the Holy Spirit lives in you. Now he's saying the anointing lives in you. You see, you already have some of that. Now, hold that thought. Hold that thought, because we're going to come back to that in a moment. When Elijah was getting toward the end of his life, end of his years, end of his ministry, he turned to his young successor, Elisha, and he said to him, he says, before I go, is there anything I can do for you? Let me read it to you quickly. Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away. And Elisha replied, please, let me inherit a double share of your spirit. What was he asking for? A double portion of the anointing. And so Elijah says to him, he says, you've asked a difficult thing. If you see me when I'm taken from you, then you will get your request. So in other words, what he's basically saying, if you see this thing through, if you finish, if you complete, because a lot of people start stuff, but they can't finish things. He says, if you'll stay to the end, he says, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. What I want you to see really is just Elisha's heart, Elisha's desire. He was saying, I need the anointing. He said, I've got to have the anointing. I cannot do this without the anointing. As a matter of fact, I'm so much lesser of a man. He says, I need double the anointing. Can you see his heart, his desire? He knew there was no ways he was going to be able to do it on his own. And so he asks for that. And what happened? When Elijah was taken up into heaven, and by the way, there were three people in the Bible who never died, Elijah, Enoch, and also Melchizedek. And so when Elijah was taken up into heaven, The anointing dropped onto Elisha. The Bible says a double portion. And the Bible records that he ended up doing twice the amount of miracles that Elijah had ever done. So in other words, he did greater things than Elijah. Turn to your neighbor and say, greater things. Greater things. All right? Why is that important? Because Jesus said, before he was taken up. Now remember, Elijah is taken up and Elisha ends up doing greater things. Now, before Jesus was taken up, what did he say? He said, you will do the works I've done and greater things. And greater things than these. You'll do greater things. That's what he said. So if that anointing is available to you and me, to ordinary people, then why is it that so few people flow in that anointing and see that anointing in their lives and in their businesses and in their finance and stuff like that? Why? I think number one is because so few Christians really know about it. So few Christians are really aware of what is available to them. And then number two, they're casual about it. There isn't that desire and that longing for it where they're saying, just like Elisha, I've got to have it. I'm telling you, before my father went to be with the Lord, actually a couple of years before that, when I started realizing that I may just take over this church, I started begging and pleading God and saying, God, I need a double portion. God, I've got to have a double portion of his anointing. Why? Because I'm dead in the water without it. I know it. I cannot do this on my own. And so most Sundays, I almost want to say every Sunday, but I don't want to laugh from the pulpit. That's not good. All right. Most Sundays, 5 o'clock in the morning, when I get up to prepare, I sit with a cup of coffee and the first thing I do is pray. I say, God, thank you for your anointing. And I'm asking you for a fresh touch today. Fill me right now. I need your anointing upon my life. Because I know, I can't do what I'm doing if it wasn't for the anointing of God upon my life. Listen, friends, you cannot be casual about the anointing and think you're going to operate in it. You've got to have a longing. You've got to have a desire. You've got to have a hunger for it where you say, God, I've got to have that. That's the thing that will distinguish me in the marketplace. That's the thing that will take me to levels that I can never go on my own. God, I've got to have that. There's got to be that hunger. And the reason I'm sharing it with you today is because I'm telling you up front, I'm trying to stir that hunger. I'm trying to stir that longing where you're saying, man, I've heard about it, but I've forgotten about it. Man, I've never heard about this. Thank you for sharing it. I'm trying to stir that within us today. Now, let me say to you, remember I said, hold that thought. You've already got a portion of the Holy Spirit, all right? Now, if you're born again, this is not for unbelievers. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, it means you already have, you're carrying the Holy Spirit on the inside. You have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. But it mustn't be confused with the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. Those are two completely separate experiences in our lives. The indwelling and the infilling. Let me show you quickly from Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, what you've received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, capital, who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Let me read Romans chapter 8. It's even clearer. Puts it better, I think. So you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit, capital, when he adopted you as his own children. So when you became born again, when God adopted you into his family, you received that Spirit. That's the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. But remember, we said we need the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to Ephesians chapter 5. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. And we've seen that, all right? Instead, be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you go and check that out in the Greek, the tense there is in the present continuous tense. Be filled and keep on being filled. And keep on being filled. And keep on being filled. Why? Because we leak, man. I like to see it as the battery in our cell phones. The more you use that battery, what happens? The more you've got to constantly charge it, because you're using the charge. In the same way, when you and I use the anointing, be it to do what I'm doing today, be it in business as you're operating and making decisions and trusting God, and you're flowing in that anointing that God has given you for business or for teaching or whatever it is, the more you use that, the more you've got to be filled. And so what I want you to see today, that it's not a once-off filling. It's not a one-time event. It's a continuous being filled and being filled. There are some events in our Christian walk that are a one-time event. Your salvation is a one-time event. You don't get saved, then when you mess up a little bit, you've got to get re-saved again. No, you come and confess your sins, but you're saved. All right, there are times where we're walking closer to God, and there may be times where we're walking further from God. That's a one-time event. Baptism is a one-time event. We don't get baptized and then re-baptized and then re-baptized. That's why we don't baptize children, because they don't choose to be baptized. All right? And that's why we're also not even keen to baptize younger children when they don't quite understand what they're doing. We want to try and wait for them to have an understanding and appreciation for what they're doing, and then to say, man, I want to go through the waters of baptism. It's a one-time event that you do. And so my question to you this morning is this: do you want the anointing for your life? All right? God's supernatural power, all right? Do you really have a desire for the anointing? Because let me tell you, what you don't desire, you don't deserve. The Bible tells us, seek and you will find. If we don't seek, we're not going to find it. What you don't desire, you don't deserve. But when there's a desire in our hearts and we say, God, I need your anointing. How come some business people are excelling during this time, are accomplishing things where you stand back and you say, tell me again, what did you pay off on your debt? I have a friend who imported a machine, and the next moment it was COVID. It was almost 100 million. And so they stood to lose everything, because with COVID there was no business, nothing. They just brought this in. And so I chatted to him the other day, and there was possibility that they would be liquidated. They've almost paid that off. They've almost paid. I said to him, what? Come again. What did you just tell me? How did he do that? The anointing. There's anointing upon his life for business. I remember when I was in business, I would see God bless us and do things where I'm standing back and I'm thinking, I don't know how this is happening. I'm not this smart. I knew that. It's got to be the anointing. And so whether it's business or teaching or preaching, I don't know about you, but I need it and I want it. And I leak quite a bit, by the way. So I want to come before the Lord this morning and say, Lord, just a fresh touch. And if you want to join me this morning, jump to your feet. Come. Father God, thank you for stirring our hearts and our faith today. We come this morning as your children declaring that we are nothing without you. We can accomplish so little in our own strength, in our own ability, so, so very little. But with you, all things are possible. And so now we come as your children, Lord, with arms open wide and hearts open wide. And we come and ask, Lord, fill us anew and afresh this morning with your Holy Spirit. Pour out the anointing upon every single one of us. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Let's give God a big hand. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Bless you and honor you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Bless you. Have a great week. See you Christmas.